Thank you. Yeah, I think, as Matt mentioned before, we've got a bunch of guys away at Georgian this weekend having a retreat. As a church, I think we're incredibly blessed, like no church I've ever kind of been involved with, in the diversity of the people. We've got young families, we've got older people, we've got loads of kids, we've got every age and stage, which is brilliant. But more than anything, for me, we've got this amazing bunch of blokes who just are real and honest about growing, you know, with the families, doing whatever they do in life. And the guys away this weekend will be engaging not in lots of nice things, but really digging into some of the really tough things it is to be a bloke and all the stuff that we face. So we just need to pray for them, if we could, just so that God really kind of moves amongst them and allows them just to be released from some of the stuff that we fight over every day. So let's just pray for them first. Jesus, thank you that you've raised up such an amazing bunch of real men in this church who seek you honestly with integrity, not because they want to just be good, but because they want to dig deep into you and bring their families and bring this church into a place where lives are transformed. We pray for the miracles that Matt was just talking about, that you will do some amazing healing amongst them and you'll bring them forward so that they will lead us as a church with power and strength in your name. Amen. Good. And Mr. Loader, may I introduce you? This is a, come up here, sir. Mr. Steve has been kind of part of this church, I don't know, for probably 20 years, I should think, at least, and a real inspirational guy. Steve, as I think everybody's just heard, works on the docks. I'm not going to steal your thunder, but amongst the seafarers who kind of come into Portbury Dock. And again, these aren't kind of gentlemen, are they? These are quite robust gentlemen, right, yes. Aren't they? And right. But you bring something that nobody else has ever done, that kind of honesty and integrity and vulnerability for yourself to just be Jesus to them, that they can have a bit of hope. So let's pray before you start. Lord, thank you so much for this man who, with such humility, serves you with such power. It's an astonishing irony that a man who just makes himself so vulnerable and makes himself weak will bring such difference to men who think they are strong. Lord, I pray that this morning that we won't just go away saying, oh, wasn't that good? We will go away changed because of something you said to this guy. Bless him in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, mate.
Amen. Wonderful to be here again. I've turned up today with the cold, which is quite serious for, you know, man flu. One of my friends texted me yesterday, said he thinks it's worse than labour pains. And I said, absolutely, I feel awful. So that's how I feel today. So just pray for me. But it was great just to spend the time in worship because it really, for me, put the emphasis back again on God, not on me and how I might be feeling this morning. So that was a real blessing. And I was reflecting on, it was just mentioned about the BBC, and I was just thinking that for the last, I don't know, about year and a half, I've been asked to do the thought for the day on the BBC Bristol Radio. And which terrified me at the time because it's live radio. And anybody who knows me, I'm not somebody who's kind of wants to push himself forward. Here I am, use me. You know, I love the sound of my voice and that. Actually, I'm quite the opposite, but God seems to keep on pushing me into these situations. And I was just sort of thinking to myself, because I was on the radio on Friday. And the talk has to link in with what they're talking about. And it was music day. The BBC were sort of doing this special thing. And Kylie Minogue was doing the train announcements at Temple Meads. And I said, well, that should, I was saying this on radio, that should spice up the journey. You know, having her doing the announcements, which I said somebody may reply to that, Steve, I should be so lucky. Well, the woman who was doing the show thought it was funny anyway. So, yeah, so pray about that, because I almost ducked out doing this thought for the day. But they came to Portbury Docks and they wanted the chaplain there to do it, and I could hardly say no. So with fear and trepidation, I did this thought for the day, and I've been doing it now sort of ever since for about a year and a half. And the Lord's just shown me this great opportunity just to point people to Christ, where I wouldn't have ever dreamt I would have had that opportunity. So it's God, you know, there's probably lots of people here who sort of feel in themselves, I can't do this, I can't do that. You know, there's always somebody more gifted. And I feel like that. And here I am speaking today. There's many people I feel would probably do a much better job of it than I would. But God uses the weak things in this world. You know, he does what he wants to do. And I just want to be obedient to him. I want to be like Isaiah, saying, here I am, send me. So when you look at me and all my faults and failings, just look at Christ. He is great. And this is why I do the things that I do. So I want to look at today from a passage in Luke chapter 7. And it's entitled, Jesus Raises the Widow's Son. I'm going to say a bit more later on. I think after lunch, I think this is what's going to be happening about, you know, some of the stuff I'm doing on the ships. So if you want to kind of hear a bit more about that, then you can stay for lunch and I'll be chatting more about my work on the ships. But for now, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 7 and from verse 11. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Let's just commit this word from the Lord in prayer. Father God, we just thank you again for the Bible and all that's in it. And I ask you, Lord God, that you would speak through me now. We'd rather hear from you today, Lord. And we invite you to speak through me and give us ears to hear, Lord God, to receive from you. This isn't just kind of filling in a gap in the meeting. We need to hear from you, Jesus. And I ask now that you would speak into our hearts and minds in your precious name. Amen. In Job 14, Job asks a great question, and that is, if a man dies, will he live again? How we answer that will affect us, how we live our lives. You know, whether we live our lives full of hope, or that we see that this is just one life and that's the end of it. We just heard earlier on in the service, there are people, a couple of people who've passed away who are saying, I look forward to being with Christ. This is people who say, yeah, you know, when I die, I'm going to live again. In fact, in what's the Apostle Paul saying in 1 Corinthians, he said, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And because Christ is risen from the dead, we have that hope for those of us who put our trust in him, that we also will raise from the dead. And that affects the way I live my life. This life is just a stepping stone, and I have eternity in front of me. And it affects the way that I live my life. And I love this story here. Jesus raised three different people from the dead. And this is one of the people he raised from the dead. And there's this wonderful symbolism of Jesus halting that tragic procession to the grave and with a word of power brings a young man back to life. That's what this kind of story symbolizes. And really, I want us to be thinking today, where has Jesus cut in on our journey? Because let's just be a little bit morbid, just for a moment. We're all heading to the grave. I know, you're glad you invited me now, aren't you? But that's the direction we're going in. The thing is, has Jesus cut in on that journey? He has with me, and it's changed my life, radically changed my life. And this is what Jesus wants to do for each one of us. So that's kind of summary of what we're looking at today, is Jesus cutting in on our journey through life. So let's just quickly look back at what's happened here in this story. Jesus has just been in Capernaum. He's healed the centurion's servant. Nobody's seen anything like it. Nobody's heard anybody like Jesus. And it's drawn a large crowd. They're all following him. There's an air of sort of expectation and excitement about him. There's a large crowd because Jesus is amazing. If he was boring, there wouldn't have been a large crowd, all right? Nobody would have bothered following him, but Jesus always drew large crowds because of the kind of person he is and he was then. Amazing. Never seen anything like it. And so they're all following him, hoping to experience something else amazing. What's he going to do next? What's he going to say next? And so this crowd, as they follow Jesus, they approach the town of Nain, and there's another large crowd coming out of that town. But this crowd is very different. There isn't that joy and excitement. There isn't an air of expectation, but rather the opposite. There's weeping and mourning because a widow has lost her only son. So I want you to kind of picture those two groups, because those two groups mirror two groups in life, really. One group follows Jesus, you know, with that air of expectation of what he's going to do next. There's another group who are basically just heading to the grave with walking a life that's meaningless with no hope. And that's how I see it quite clearly. Two groups. And this kind of revelation, really, of belonging to Christ changed my life. I remember, I probably shared this before, but when I was 17, very young in the faith, and I'd gone to Brunel College on a building course. And so, you know, there's a lot of guys there, young men there who thought themselves tough. And I had a choice whether I, you know, fitted in with them, kept my head down, didn't want to stand out, or let it be known that I was a follower of Christ. My hope was in him. So I let the cat out the bag and let it be known that I was a Christian, which singled me out. Suddenly, I'm in the group that follows Christ. You know, all the others are in that group that's kind of, there is no meaning to life. And they're just on this kind of pointless journey, really. And suddenly, I felt singled out. But my life was changed. I was, you know, Jesus was amazing to me. I loved being in the presence of God. I loved reading the stories about Christ. And, you know, I had this wonderful hope for the future. So here I am, a Christian at college. And for the entire year, I was persecuted there. They used to spoil my work. They had not very nice songs about me. You can't sing them today, unfortunately. And always trying to kind of antagonize me, trying to get a reaction from me. And I remember being in a lesson, and they're just all having a go. And the teacher stopped the lesson, and he said, "You seem to be more interested in what Steve's got to say than what I'm trying to teach you today. So, Steve, if you'd like to take the rest of the lesson, over to you." And bear in mind, I'm only 17, and quite new in the faith, really. But it was an opportunity just to explain why I was following Christ, why I called myself a Christian. And I just explained it to them in a very simple way. And absolute silence as I just gave a little testimony. And then the kind of buzzer went and it all kicked off again. We were into the next lesson. But it showed me a kind of clear definition, really, what it meant to be a Christian. I was different from them. And I needed to know in my life who Jesus is and what impact that should have on me. Radically changed me as a young man. I also remember being in a gym in college, sort of a bit like this, really. And we were just relaxing in break time. And I used to have holes in my jeans, in the knees. I think that's come back in, I've noticed. Not just in the knees, though, is it? So all right away down. Anyway, I had my knees come out. And I got jumped on by half a dozen of these lads. And they just tore my jeans to shreds. Literally, my legs were hanging out. And because they were getting a reaction. And they got a reaction, because I went absolutely mad. I don't normally suffer with a bad temper, but I wanted to beat a lot of them up. And I remember they all scattered and went out the fire escapes because I was just trying to grab anybody I could get hold of. And then I felt, that's the kind of the red mist parted. Oh, what have I done? And they all came back in very sheepish, and I apologized. I said, "I didn't want to do that. That's not how I want to be. But you kind of pushed me too much." And one of the young lads who was particularly annoying throughout the year, he said, "Steve," he said, don't think that nobody didn't like you. It's not like that at all. He said, "I just reckon we're all jealous of the way you live." And it really just, touched my heart, because I thought I'd blown it. I thought I'd messed up and was a bad witness. But God used my weakness really to show these guys there is another way. You don't have to follow that group. There's there's another group that follows Christ, who have that hope and that promise for the future, and everything else that Christ gives you, that forgiveness, and how he just comes into your life, and you feel loved and accepted and valued. All these wonderful things and so many other things that Christ does for us. And it became clear as a young man who I was following. Yes, I'm following Jesus. My eyes are on him. So let's just go back to this story, because in verse 12, there's been a catastrophe. In fact, verse 12 is kind of filled with sorrow, because it said, "As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow." The fact that she was a widow meant she'd already experienced bereavement in her life. She'd already experienced that loss of a loved one. But now she's lost her only son, which probably meant that she would now be destitute. There wasn't any social services then. Nobody there to kind of give you a check every week, and that she was very much on her own and would have to provide for herself. And probably the only option she had would be is to beg. And what would have grieved her most is that she's lost her only son whom she'd loved. And now she was completely alone. And just picture these two groups coming together. One full of expectation, excitement. I imagine there was a buzz of chatter. And then the other group was mourning the loss of the widow's son. And the two groups come together, and imagine the group that was Jesus kind of suddenly realized what the other crowd was about, and they all went silent, and maybe they averted their eyes for a moment, but it didn't stay there. It never stays there in that place of loss and devastation, not with Jesus, because in verse 13, it says, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. I love that about Scripture, and I love that about Jesus, how it just points to the fact that Jesus is full of compassion. He's not a God who's far away and indifferent and just kind of looks down despairingly on us individuals in our sort of in our weakness. He looks at us with compassion. I think of Jesus with Lazarus when he went to the tomb where Lazarus was buried, and it said that Jesus wept. You know, why would he weep? Because if it was me, and I knew that, you know, I had that faith and the power to raise people from the dead, I would have said, don't cry, don't worry. Come on, Lazarus, come forth. He had to say Lazarus, because otherwise everybody come out the grave. You know, so be specific. Just you, Lazarus. All right. But, you know, Jesus wept. Why did he weep? If he knew what he was about to do, it's because he had compassion on all those around who were weeping and grieving the loss of Lazarus. So, you know, for us today, when we lose a loved one, somebody special to us, and we feel grieved, God knows exactly how you feel. He knows exactly. And in the fact that Jesus wept, he wept, that's to the extent of how Jesus has empathy for where we're at. I get a lot of encouragement and comfort from that, that the God I follow cares that much about me, and he cares that much about you as well. We tend to forget at times how great Jesus is. Yes, yeah, whatever, you know. And I keep on giving myself almost like a kick up the pants, really. Is, come on, Steve. You know, Christ is better than that. He deserves your devotion. Oh, I don't want to put myself out there because I don't want people singling me out. I don't want people making fun of me. Who cares about these things? You know, not when you've got Christ in your life. You know, and I think that, you know, there's people around the world who are putting their lives on the line for their faith. You know, and I think about the way we are in this country. Oh, you know, I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want anything to feel a bit difficult. I think when you're like that, you haven't got a clear view of God in your life. And I'm saying this to myself as well, because when I see God, how he truly is, I feel energized. I feel I want to do something. I want to step out in faith. I want to put myself out there because he is worth it. And I know how much he cares for me. So it's not like, you know, I'm doing it for this for you, God. You know, he's done so much for me, and he's going to do so much more. And so, you know, I want to put myself out there and say, Lord, use me. So when Jesus said, don't cry, what was he trying to say to her? Well, he was about to remove the reason or the cause of her tears. He knew what he was going to do. So he said, don't cry, not don't cry, and then walked off and left her to it. No, he knew what he was about to do. He was about to raise her son from the dead. And this is a foreshadowing of what will happen in the future for those of us who put our trust in Christ. You know, when Jesus says, do not be afraid and don't cry, he didn't just leave that with you. It's because he knows what's going to happen in the future. And Revelation 21 says that he will wipe away every tear. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will pass away. So when Jesus says, trust me, we got a reason to trust him because he's already got the answer sorted, what he's going to do in our lives. And I can't wait for that day when we are in the presence of God in that respect, you know, when there will be no more pain and sorrow and death. And I'm living in the good of it now. You know, I believe in it, and I'm living in the good of it now. So when Jesus said, do not cry, he is in fact inviting her to put her trust in him. because he was about to turn this woman's world upside down and put such joy in her life that only God can make it possible. And this is what God wants to do in our lives. He don't want us sat here today, you know, like, tell me something new, you know. He wants us to be full of passion for him. You know, people who are grateful for grace, who appreciate what God has done and what God will do in our lives. I want to be, is it Ken who says, you know, I just want to be in the presence of Christ. That's fantastic. You know, when you come to the end of your life saying, bring it on, because I'm ready for eternity. I'm ready to be with Christ. I want to be like that as well. So Jesus, in verse 14, he said, then Jesus went and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. Well, he probably stood still out of shock more than anything, because everybody knew a religious leader, a Jewish religious leader, didn't go anywhere near dead bodies, you know, because it defiled them. And then Jesus went up, and he touched the coffin. They were like, you know, what's he doing? But Jesus wasn't interested in their protocol. He took the taint of death upon himself. And this is what exactly Jesus has done for us by going to the cross. He took the taint of death upon himself. And then he rose again 3 days later. Verse 14, he said, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. I'd love to know what he was saying, you know, as he sat up. I wonder if he said, what are you all looking at? You know, what was he saying? But Jesus said, don't cry or be afraid. Why? Because he has the power over life and death. In John 11:25, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Death will never triumph over the believer. Do you believe that today? Is that where your confidence is? Because if you do truly believe in it, there will be joy in your heart, despite maybe at the moment you may be going through some difficult times. But it's knowing that Christ holds the keys over life and death. So as I draw near to a close, I like to keep it simple. Has Christ cut in on your journey in life? So that only you can answer this between you and God. Has he cut in on your journey? Can you imagine for that widow when Jesus approached that funeral procession to the grave, and as he approached, she said, oi, stop, I'm going to bury my son today, leave us alone. And Jesus, being a gentleman, he would have said, carry on. That would have been tragic, you know, because she would have missed out on that life-changing event, on the joy that knew no bounds, you know. I've seen her son brought back to her again. Can you imagine? She would have missed out on that. And there's probably people here today who are still sat here saying, I don't know. I don't know if I want Jesus in my life. I don't know if I want to say yes. He's given you an opportunity again today, because Jesus wants to cut in on each of our lives and saying, there's another way. I want to bring resurrection into your life. I want to bring forgiveness. I want to bring that hope for the future that only he can give. So there's two groups in life. That's where I see it. One follows Jesus Christ with great expectation and excitement. That group has an endless hope. An endless hope. I would probably say the majority of people here have that today. The other group walks a meaningless and uncertain path. They face a hopeless end. Endless hope, a hopeless end. Where are you? Where are you in all of this? I know for myself, oh, I wouldn't want to be at any other place than with Jesus. I'm following him. I'm following him with that expectation. What are you going to do next? My eyes are on him. Because I know he has the power over life and death. Not only did he raise three people from the dead, he himself was risen from the dead 3 days later. Five or 600 people seen him over a course of about 6 weeks. He rose from the dead. And now those who belong to him have that promise as well. I can't wait. I can't wait to see Jesus face to face. But in the meantime, we're walking together and it's fantastic. That's why I'm putting myself out there. It's gratitude for him. It's not trying to prove something, but I want to be with him. I want to be walking with him. I don't want to be in that group who just faces that pointless, meaningless life that has that uncertain end. So where are you in all of this? My prayer is today, you will say, yes, Jesus, come in. You cut in on my journey. I want that certainty. I want that hope in you. I invite you into my life. Put your hope and your confidence in him today and allow him to just radically turn your world upside down and put such joy in your life. Only God can make it possible. Let me close in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this story. So many stories in the Bible where you met ordinary people and you changed their lives. Only you could have made this possible, Jesus. And I pray today, if there is anybody here is still, you know, not sure, that you would speak into their hearts and minds and say, today's a day of salvation. Jesus, come into my life. Make your home within me. I want to belong to you. I want to be a part of your family. I want to be in that group that follows you, that group that's full of excitement and hope for the future. I want to be in that group and encourage that person to say yes to you, Jesus. Will you change those lives in your precious name? Amen. Amen.